of Luke. The book of Luke, the book of Luke. We're going into this season to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. So this Sunday morning, we're going to do a part one, and then third Sunday, we will come back to you with the part two. So if you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. If you don't have it, we're going to put it up on the screen. Book of Luke, first chapter. And we're going to begin reading with the 18th verse. Really, the context is from the first down to the 21st verse. But we're, for time's sake and to consolidate, we're going to deal with Luke 1, 18 through 25 today for its reading. But we're going to include from the beginning up until the 25 in our message on this morning. We ask that those that are listening via the website, we thank God for you. We thank God for all that are listening, Facebook, YouTube. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank you for tuning in and listening to this ministry. Be sure to share it. Be sure to share it. Be sure to share it. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Missionary Sneed. Good morning, Della Allen, Sister Allen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Amen. The book of Luke, and we're going to begin reading at the 18th verse, and it says, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my life well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I'm Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he had came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Can I read that last verse one more time? "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Good morning, District Mother Faulkner. Amen. If we can talk this morning about a miraculous gift, a miraculous gift. This is part one. Third Sunday, we'll come up with part two. a miraculous gift, announcing the birth of John. A miraculous gift. Will you pray with me? Most Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come humbly before Thee this Sunday morning, God, lifting up holy hands unto You that we might receive Your Holy Spirit. Father, we come as humble as we know how, God, because, God, we know that all power is in Your hands. And Father, we ask now, God, that You just look on each and every one, each and one that are listening in today, each one that is watching on the website, on YouTube, on Facebook, oh God, each one, oh God, that's in Your presence. God, we ask, God, no matter where they are, God, we ask that You bless now in the name of Jesus. Bless their hearts, bless their minds, oh God, bless them in their spirits, bless their household, bless their relationships, bless their finances, bless their, oh God, bless their whole household, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask for a mighty blessing on this morning, oh God, for we're in the season of giving and receiving, and God, we want to give all that we have unto You, God, that we may receive You in the name of Jesus. God, we thank You now, oh, in the name of Jesus, that You will bless us now in Your ministry, oh God, that You will bless us in Your service, that You will bless us in Your word, that You will bless, oh God, the connection that we have in the name of Jesus, oh God, and in that blessing, God, that minds be changed, oh God, in that blessing, oh God, lives be changed, oh God, in that blessing, hearts are changed in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, and we'll just thank You all the more, God. We know it's not us, oh, but it's You, oh Lord. It's You, oh God. It's Your power. It's Your ministry. It's Your message, oh God. It's Your words. It's, oh God, You, oh God, oh God. So we give it all unto You in the name of Jesus, oh God. So just manifest Yourself, and God, we'll just praise You even the more, oh God, and we'll thank You. Oh, let the meditation of our hearts, the words of our mouth be acceptable in Thine sight in the name of Jesus. Bless us, Lord, that the way we know that You can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. We'll be right back with the word in Jesus' name.
Son of God appear, rejoice.
Amen, amen, amen. Emmanuel has already come. Amen. And we wait on his return. Is there anybody out there that is waiting on his return? Is there anybody out there that recognize that he's already come? That he's already has been here over 2,000 years ago, that he already walked on this earth? Is there anybody out there that understands that he died on the cross and that he rose again and we're waiting on his return, and yet he still is present with us because God is omnipresent? Amen. And God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the three are one, and they're all are present with us right now. And if you believe that he's in your presence, amen, you ought to just give him a shout at the height of your voice. Wake up everybody in the house and tell him thank you. Amen. If you believe that he's in your presence right now, amen, and he's doing his work within you, amen, you ought to just say thank you, God. Amen. I receive you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I just love that. Emmanuel, you're in the presence of us right now. We don't have to wait at this very moment, at this very hour. I don't care how you feel. You might not feel so good. You might have a headache. You might have a stomach ache, your back ache, your ankle ache, your knee ache. I don't care what is hurting on you, but he's in your presence right now. And just ask him to touch it, touch it, touch it, touch it, touch it right now, right now. Yes, yes, yes. He's in your presence. He's in your presence. Oh, I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach. Yeah, yeah. I'm just excited and elated on this morning about God and what he has done and what he's doing for us and how he's blessing us. Amen. We just thank God for just sharing with him, and we just praise him for his mighty presence to be with us on this Sunday morning. And wherever you are and wherever I am, amen, we may not be physically together, but we're together spiritually. And because we're in the same place, and the Bible says if we touch and agree, we may not be touching each other physically, amen, but we can touch each other spiritually. And if we're touching each other spiritually, the Bible declares that I'll be one in the midst, amen. And we can touch one another spiritually. My spirit can touch your spirit, and your spirit can manifest in my spirit, amen. And we can rejoice in God, amen, because God is, amen, a mighty help. Yes, he is. He's a mighty help. He can do it. Whatever you need him to do on this morning, I ask you that you just put it on your mind this morning. Whatever the situation may be this morning, just put it in your mind, put it in your heart on this morning, amen. Whatever the problem may be, amen, we know him to be a problem solver. Whatever the issue may be, we know that he is an issue solver. Whatever the down setting may be, we know that he's a deliverer. Economics may be, we know that he can change economies, amen. Whatever the relationship may be, we know that he can rekindle, amen, the fire in the relationship. Hey, we just ask that you just put it on your mind this morning, because we're going to speak on, amen, a miraculous gift. This is dealing with the announcing of John's birth, but we're going to deal with the miraculous gift. Now, we know Christ is the miraculous gift, but there was another miraculous gift before Christ. Oftentimes, we go through life trying to do the things that are required in life, getting education, working, trying to move our careers to have a successful career, to have a successful life. And we know these material things. We know material things are temporal, and they do not amount up to nothing, no more than what the, you know, to the the life of Christ. They don't mount up to having Christ in your life. We understand those things. However, we do know that we spend our time and spend time in our life to achieve things and to have a successful life. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we keep Christ in the forefront, there's nothing wrong with trying to achieve some things in life and to have things in life and to live a comfortable life, to have a good quality of life. There is nothing wrong with that. Amen. But we understand that they are temporal. However, as we go through life and we're trying to build a quality life and we're trying to build a quality relationship with our loved one, we're trying to build a quality economics that we can have some of the things that we want, as well as take care of the things that we need. Amen. As we go through this, sometimes it seems like that life does not give us what we expect. Our blueprint for life just seems like it cannot be built. Because it feels like that we cannot get to the point in life and where we expect to be at a certain age. I know personally I had goals set for myself at a certain age. However, I was able to accomplish some, and then there are some that I have not been able to accomplish, and I'm still working towards. Amen. But seems like when those things that we don't accomplish, it makes us feel like that we're failures, that we cannot achieve it, that we are barren in that part of life. But I want you to know that there is a miraculous birth, a miraculous gift that can happen to you. And that's what we want to deal with this morning, because, amen, we want you to understand that life is not over until God says it's over. Life is not finished until God says it's finished. You don't have to give up where you are. Amen. You don't have to quit where you are. You don't be weary in well doing. Amen. You just have to continue, amen, in the service of God. Let us get into our scripture. I'm excited on this morning. I'm elated because God has shown me how no matter what, God has the last say-so. And it's in scripture. It's in scripture over and over again. Sometimes we just think that it is over for us. I'm too old. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability. I don't have the access. I don't have it. But I want you to know this morning, it's not over till God says so. You ought to text somebody that it ain't over till God says so. You know somebody that's done gave up, that's done called you and told you, girl, I can't make it. I can't do it. I'm done with this. But you ought to text them right now and say, it's not over till God said so. Amen. He might send Gabriel unto her or to him and let them know, amen, what you've been praying for. What you've been praying for is about to happen. Amen. Glory to God. Look at our text on this Sunday morning. We're talking from the book of Luke, from the eyes of Luke. Luke is talking to us this morning, and Luke lets us know at the beginning of the verse, at the beginning of this book, amen, he said, I am aware of the declarations of things about Christ, but listen, I've from the beginning, there were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He said, it seems good unto me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first. In other words, listen, I'm writing this, amen, to clue in some details that you just may not know about Jesus Christ. I'm giving you some additional details here, Theophilus. And I like this part because I learned that Theophilus means the lover or friend of God. Now, Theophilus could have been an individual person. We don't know if Theophilus was an individual person or he was just declaring it to the body of believers. Amen. But Theophilus means a lover and friend of God. Is there any lovers out there? Is there any friends of God out there listening to me on this Sunday morning? Amen. I'm talking to you. Luke is talking to you this morning. He said, oh, most excellent Theophilus, In other words, hey man, you might have some rank, you might have some authority, amen, but you are a friend of God, a lover of God. Yes, 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 yes. So Luke is telling us, he said, look now, it was in the days of Herod, and I'm briefly going through the pretext that I didn't read. It says, he says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, and he said there was a certain priest named Zacharias. Yes, Zacharias, which means God remembers. Yes, and that's key now. Zacharias, meaning God remembers. Now Zacharias was a priest, and his wife Elizabeth, amen. His wife Elizabeth was from the daughters of Aaron, amen, meaning that she was also a part of the priesthood. So now you have a husband and you have a wife that are from generations. They're from the priestly generations. They were both righteous before God, the Bible says, and walking in the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord. They were blameless. That don't mean they were sinless. That means they were blameless. Because we all was born in the iniquity of sin. All have come short of the glory of God, right? Right? So we all was born in sin. There's only one that wasn't born in sin, but we all have been born in sin. So they were blameless, but not sinless. But the Bible says they walked in the commandments and the ordinances of God. So when there was a mistake, they did what it took to get it right. And they walked into that. They were both from the lineage of the priesthood. And they had the knowledge and the understanding of what the law required of them. And they walked in that. That's a great place to be. Now, we first have to understand that, because we're dealing with a man, Zechariah's wife. Because here we know that they have done all that they can, and they're doing what they could. And Luke took the time to tell us, he said, and they had no child. They had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren. Now, then he goes on to say, and they both were now well stricken in years. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? If we go back in the history books, in the Old Testament, we pick up Abraham. Amen. And Abraham had a wife named Sarai, amen, which was barren, amen. And they both, amen, was older, and they was in upper age to the point that they were no longer at childbearing age. Doesn't this sound familiar? It happened more than once in Scripture. It's letting us know that not only did God bless Abraham and Sarah with a miraculous gift, but Zacharias and Elizabeth, amen, is getting blessed here, because Elizabeth is now barren. And I stop right here to make that point, amen, when we talk about, amen, our life and how we live today. And this is where I'm telling you, your life may feel like it is barren. It's not producing any fruit. It seems like you're going from one day to the next day and you're not producing. You're doing all the things that you feel that you should do. You're living according to the commandments, and you're living according to the ordinance of the Lord, and you're blameless. You're doing all the right things, and you're doing it the right way, and you're doing it in a way that you feel that God is blessed and God is pleased with what you're doing, but it's still not producing nothing. Yes, you go to work every day and you praise God before you go. When you get there, you praise God when you get there. And when you get your paycheck, it's not producing nothing. Yes, yes, yes. You go to the doctor and you pray before you go to the doctor. And when you get to the doctor and the doctor does his examination on you and he gives you more medication. And because you're not getting any better, it seems like you're barren because it's not producing nothing. Yes, yes, yes. I hear you. We're in a relationship, and our relationship, we've been together for years, and it seems like our relationship is spreading apart. The love that was there is no longer there, and we're gotten to the point where we're sleeping in separate rooms, and the relationship, it just seems like we're in the same house, but we're not together, and we're going from day into day, and we're trying to work on the relationship, and we're trying to make it better, but nothing is being fruitful and is not bearing anything. Yes, yes, yes. It seems like we go into our church house and we're doing all the things that we should do. We're doing all the services that we should serve, and we're doing all the praying that we should pray, and we're doing all the connections that we should connect, and we're doing all the ministries that we can get on and participate in, but it seems like it's not producing nothing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It seems like it's just barren. It feels like nothing is taking place. But understand, in the Bible, Luke is telling us that Zechariah and Elizabeth are also our old age. They're up in age. In other words, they're stricken in years. And not only are you barren, but you've been doing it for a long time, and nothing has taken place. You've been in this place. It reminds me of the man by the pool of Bethesda who'd been there 38 long years. It could have been the woman, amen, that reached for the hem of Jesus' garment. Amen. She was in that place for 12 long years. I don't know how long you've been in that place, amen, but I want you to understand that there's still opportunity for a miraculous gift, because it's not over until God says it's over. I want you to know this morning, amen, that all you need to do is continue in prayer and in service. What are you saying? What are you saying, preacher? Well, let's talk about Zechariah's service. Yes, his wife was barren. Yes, they were stricken in years. But guess what? Zechariah's continued in serving his God. Zechariah's continued in serving in the priest's office in which he was ordained and he was called into. Zechariah's continued in his service. Amen. I don't know. The Bible don't tell us. Luke didn't tell us, didn't identify how long he had been serving. But we do know that he grew up, he came into the priestly lineage. So he probably at whatever age that he was ordained into this, he had been doing it. And now he's an old man. So he could have been doing this for majority of his life. And he had no fruit. He had no blessings to come out of it. Amen. And he had been doing it, but he continued in service. Why? Because it tells us here in the scriptures, amen, it lets us know, amen, that says in verse 8, it says, and it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God. In the order of his course, he stayed in his lane. He did what he was supposed to do. He did it how he's supposed to do it. He did it when he was supposed to do it. He gave service. Now, research shares with me that there was a lot of priests operating in the temple at this time, and they were still operating in the way that David had set it up. There was 24 times of service, and there was two times a year that group would serve, and then within that group they cast lots of the one that would go in and go into the holies of holies and burn the incense. So everybody didn't get to do this all the time. It was by chance. It was the luck of the straw, so to speak. Because when they cast lots, and if you understand them casting lots, it was basically some straws in a can, and they would shake those straws up and pull them out, and the straws that were direction that the most and the closest person that those straws was pointing to was the person that would be identified. It was kind of like casting dice, but it was straws that pointed to that individual, and that's how they cast lots. And on this particular day, by the luck of the straw, and not necessarily the luck of the straw, but by the divine intervention of God, because God knew that he had something special for Zacharias, the lot fell on Zacharias. So there's no really such thing as luck. It's a such thing of destiny by God, and God, amen, was dictating the straws, amen, to land in the direction of Zacharias, that Zacharias would just so happen be the one, amen, to go in into the holies of holies and light the incense. Now, watch this. He was giving his service. Right, he was in the middle of his service. He didn't give up on service. He his wife was barren, and they were stricken in age, and but he was in service. So what does this says to us? This says to us, amen, that no matter where we're at in life, we have to continue in service. The service shouldn't always be unto us, but unto others. As we serve others, then God will serve us. You know, it's a thing. There's a scripture that says, amen, whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, if you go into a field and there's nothing in the field, you plow the field, you plant corn, eventually there's going to be some stalks of corn growing in the field. Now, if you go in the field and you plant tomatoes, eventually there's going to be tomatoes growing in the field. If you go in the field and plant okra, there's going to be okra growing in the field. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So if I'm sowing good seeds, if I'm sowing good service, then I will receive good service. If I'm sowing blessings, then I will receive blessings. If I'm sowing positive words and encouragement, then I'm going to receive whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm going to receive encouragement. Now, if I'm sowing turmoil, I'm going to receive turmoil. If I'm sowing mischief, I'm going to receive mischief. Sowing backbiting, whatever man soweth, that is a natural law. It's a God law. God put it out there for us to understand it. And a lot of times we want to give that scripture to people who's doing us bad and doing us wrong. In other words, we're telling them it's going to come back onto them, but we don't think about what ourselves. We don't think about, amen, what it is that I'm sowing. Where am I sowing? Am I sowing good seed? Am I sowing honesty? Am I sowing of good report? Am I sowing blessings? Am I sowing? If I'm sowing good, then eventually good is going to come back. I can't sow evil and get good. It's not going to work that way. The Bible says, you know the tree by the fruit that it bears. I'm not judging the tree. I just see the fruit that's on the tree, and the fruit that's on the tree tells me what kind of tree it is. And if the tree is blooming oranges, and they're bright orange, sweet oranges, then I understand that that is a good orange tree. Oh, let me tell you, I'm in South Florida, y'all. Let me talk about this. Amen. If the tree got some big juice and mangoes hanging down, amen, I know that that is a mango tree. Amen. I understand, amen, that whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we have to be careful about the service that we provide. We have to be honest in a service that we provide. We have to provide service. But what I'm trying to help you understand that although you're barren and although you've been doing it for a long time, we have to know that the service that we're giving is the service that God wants us to give, because we have an expectation. You cannot have a positive expectation without positive service. We got to give out positive service to get a positive expectation. And Zacharias was doing this. Zacharias was serving. He was serving unto the Lord. The Bible says in the 8th verse, he executed. In other words, he did what he was supposed to do. The priest's office before God. He did it as unto God. He didn't do it as unto man. He didn't do it to be seen. He didn't do it for leadership. He didn't do it for positionship. He didn't do it for finances. He did it before God. And anything that we do, that's why we should do it. I know sometimes we get paid for things, and we ought to get paid for the services that we put out, but we shouldn't do it for the pay. We should do it before God. Because if we do it before God, I have found out and I have learned that when we do things for God, although we may receive some compensation for the work, when we do it for God, we are often paid more than we need. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations and circumstances where I know that I've been paid more than what I need. And because of the fact that I was doing it out of the passion of my heart, and I was doing it because I wanted to do it, and I had a passion to do it, you get paid more than what you need. Let me, Zacharias, come on, Luke, help us out, Luke. While Zacharias went in the temple to light the incense, understand, lighting of the incense in the temple was showing that prayers was going up unto God. They lit the incense, and as the smoke went up, amen, it was a sweet smell unto God. It was the prayers of the people unto God. And only the priest, amen, got to light the incense to allow the prayers, the incense, the smoke that identified as prayers going up unto God. But get this. Although the priest was on the inside of the temple, the people that were on the outside in the outer courts were still praying. It was a corporate prayer. Let me share with you. It says, in the 10th verse, it says, let's read the 9th and the 10th verse. In the 9th verse, it says, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn the incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So it was his turn. It was his opportunity. He got this opportunity, and he was going to make the best of it. He's been serving all of these years, and he finally got the opportunity to go in and burn the incense. And then while he was there in the 10th verse, it says, and the whole multitude of people were praying without at that time of incense. So the people were praying. Zacharias went in to light the incense. Prayers going up to God. The people on the outside were praying. Everybody was in a place of prayer. And it's uniquely because Luke is opening up his book, amen, talking about the power of prayer. Power of prayer. People praying. The people were praying. The priest was praying. Everybody was praying. What are you saying, preacher? It's just time for us all to get together and pray. The preacher need to be praying. The deacon need to be praying. The mothers need to be praying. The sisters need to be praying. The deaconesses need to be praying. Amen. The people in the pews need to be praying. We just need to get together and pray unto God. Because when we get together and pray unto God, amen, things happen. When we pray in unison, things happen. We just need to pray. Amen. We just need to ask God to do some things in our life. Amen. Do some things in our neighborhood. Do some things in our country. Amen. Do some things in our environment. Amen. We need God, amen, to move about the cabin. Amen. We need God to just be with us. Amen. We need to pray. Amen. Pray in unison. Amen. No matter if you're in the temple or you're outside of the temple, amen, you just need to pray. Amen. No matter you're the one lighting the incense or the one waiting on the lighter of the incense to come out, amen, you need to pray. Amen. We just need to pray one for another. Amen. We just need to put up our prayers, amen, unto God in one, in unison. And amen, we need to, amen, just ask God to do it for us. Amen. We need him to heal some of us. We need him to deliver some of us. We need him to manifest in our lives. Amen. Manifest in our hearts. Manifest in our minds. Manifest in our relationships. Manifest on our jobs. Manifest in our churches. Amen. We need God to just move all over this land. Amen. And bless his people. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I'm coming to my close. I'm getting there. While Zacharias was in the temple, lighting the incense, the people were praying. There was an angel that appeared. There was an angel that appeared to him by the name of Gabriel. Somebody need Gabriel to show up. Is there anybody that need Gabriel to show up? Amen. I need Gabriel to show up in my life. I need Gabriel just to show up and give me some good news. I don't know about you, but I need Gabriel, amen, just to appear. Amen. That's why we need to get together and pray. Amen. Because we need to see Gabriel. Amen. Somebody, amen, want to see Jesus? Yes, I want to see Jesus, but I need Gabriel right here on earth. Amen. To let me know, amen, that everything's going to be all right. Amen. Because Gabriel, amen, stands in the presence of God. And if you see Gabriel, amen, God sent Gabriel to you, amen, to give you the good news. Amen, I need some Gabriel experiences in my life, amen, to let me know that everything is going to be all right. Amen, I don't know about you, amen, but Gabriel needs to show up. Amen, church, we need to pray. We need to pray and have some Gabriel experiences. But Gabriel showed up. Oh, Gabriel showed up and Zacharias was initially in fear. But Gabriel said, don't be in fear. But I'm getting to the end now. I know my time is about out, so I'm gonna rush through this. I'm gonna rush through this. But Gabriel says, he says, don't fear, but I want you to be in assurance, huh? I want you to be in assurance that something is about to happen. You're gonna have a son, and I want you to, your son's name is gonna be John. What you're saying, Gabriel? What you're telling me, Gabriel? John means, amen. John means, amen, favor of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What you're telling me, Zach? What you're telling me, Gabriel? What you're telling me, Gabriel? Because, amen, my wife is barren, and my wife and I are in old age. How can we have the favor of God? Somebody don't get that. Somebody don't understand where we're at right there. Amen. Didn't I tell you that Zechariah means God remembers? Amen. Didn't I tell you that? Amen. Early in the message. Amen. God remembers. But Gabriel is now telling you that he remembered you and he's going to give you favor in your life. Amen. You need to name that
favor, John. God favors. Amen. I want you to understand right now, amen, that God favors you. Yes, you're barren. Yes, you haven't been able to produce. Yes, well, nothing seems to manifest in your life. Amen. Yes, things seem hard. And yes, things seem tough. But I want you to know this morning, amen, that God is going to give you a Gabriel experience. And God is going to remember who you are. God is going to remember your service. God is going to remember what you've done. And God is going to remember how you did it. God is going to remember that you did what you're supposed to do. God is going to bless you. God is going to tell you that something miraculous is going to be happening. We're talking about, amen, a miraculous gift. Amen. And then Zacharias was in shock. Amen. He didn't understand it. He didn't know what. He didn't know why. Amen. But I want you to understand, amen, that God has the last, I said it before, say so. God has the last say so. God has the last. God has the last say so. Yes, yes, life has been barren, and God knows that I've been putting in my service and week after week and day after day and month after month and year after year and nothing has manifested, but now there's gonna come a miraculous gift. A gift that I didn't expect, something that I don't even believe and I didn't understand it. Well, I want you to understand this morning that's gonna happen to you. Amen. All you gotta do is believe it and receive it. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but somebody is on the other end of the internet. Somebody's on the other end of Facebook. Somebody's on the other end of YouTube. Somebody's on the other end of TriumphLifeMinistry.com. Somebody's on the other end and they're hearing me right now. And I want you to know that the miraculous gift is coming in your life. Amen. God is going to send a Gabriel experience. Amen. And Gabriel is going to give you the good news. And I just want to know the testimony that God is still in the delivering business. God is still in the healing business. God is still, amen, is blessing in a mighty way. He's still providing miracles. Amen. He did it 2,000 years ago, and I believe he's doing it right now. Amen. All we have to do is just believe it and go into prayer. And as we have this experience, we might go into shock because we don't even believe it. We don't believe what's about to happen. Amen. I didn't expect it to happen, but it happened. I didn't expect it to come, but it came. I didn't expect it to manifest, but it did. Amen. I didn't expect for the deliverance, but it happened. Amen. I know, amen, there was no way mama couldn't do it. Daddy couldn't do it. Sister and brother couldn't do it. But it was God. It was God that did it. Amen. Because nothing could have happened except God moved in this situation. God had to move in this issue. God had to move. God had to move. Tell somebody, God, God has to move. God has to move. God has to move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. We're going to continue this on third Sunday. We're going to continue this on third Sunday. Amen. But know, amen, that Jesus, Jesus was coming. And Jesus had a forerunner. And his name was John. And Gabriel went on to let Zacharias know that he will be great in the Lord. He shall neither drink wine or a strong drink. Nothing from the grapes and nothing from the grain. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, that don't say he wasn't sinful. Amen. But it says that he would have the Holy Spirit upon him from his mother's womb. And he was predestined to be the forerunner of Christ. And he's going to do a great work in the spirit and the power of Elias. He's going to bring the fathers to children. and the disobedient to wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He's going to be a gift, and I'm going to give him to you. Zacharias, here's the reading text. Here's the reading text, and I'm going to get out your way. Zacharias was in shock, and Zacharias didn't believe what Gabriel was saying. Sometimes it's so good to us that we don't believe it. But Gabriel said, I'm going to shut your mouth. I'm going to keep you quiet because you didn't believe. But when you get your gift, but when you get your manifestation, but when you get your deliverance, but when you get your outcome, but when you get your miracle, you'll be able to talk again. You'll be able to give the testimony. So I don't need you to talk until it's time to testify. Some people want to testify before it's time to testify. Amen. But you need to be quiet until it's time to testify. Let the miracle come. And when the miracle come, then you testify. And glory to God. So Gabriel shut his mouth. Now, the Bible says that after Zechariah finished his ministration, after he finished doing what he had to do, when his service was over, when his service was done, when his service was completed. Sometimes we want our blessings in the middle of service. But if we get our blessings in the middle of service, we will fail to serve. Sometimes we want our miracle and to manifest while we're serving. But God strategically waited until Zacharias finished his administration. Because if we get prosperity while we're praying, we might stop praying. But God waited until he finished his service. And the Bible declares that Zacharias went home. And after he went home, Elizabeth came with child. Ain't that all right? And when she came with child, it gets us down to the 25th verse. I'm getting chills here. I'm getting chills. I don't know if you feel it. But Elizabeth, she hid herself for 5 months. Five is the number of grace. And she said in the 25th verse, she said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me. And the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. They may have talked about you. Amen. But the Lord is dealing with you. They may have put you down, but the Lord is dealing with you. Amen. They may have put you out, but the Lord has looked on you. They may have looked at you bad, but Lord looked at you good. I want you to know he's taken away your reproach. Sin may have been your reproach. Sinfulness may have been your reproach. Amen. But God is sending someone to take it away. God is sending someone to take away your reproach. Among men, God is about to take you from the outhouse and put you on the in-house. God is about to take you from the outside and put you on the inside. God is about to take you from the down and put you on the top. I just want you to believe that this morning, because Jesus is on the way. Jesus is on the way. Amen. In our scripture, Jesus, amen, is about to come. Amen. And I'm going to stop right there. And I want you to come back next Sunday. Amen. And then on third Sunday, amen, we're going to pick this up again. Amen. And deal with the miraculous gift. Amen. Knowing that Jesus is a miraculous gift. Amen. Before, because he came. Oh, God, I'm about to do it already. I'm about to do it already. To take away our reproach. He's the miraculous gift. He's the miraculous gift. He's the miraculous gift. He's the miraculous gift. Oh, God. Oh, God. Pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come humble before thee today, knowing, God, that you are the miraculous gift. Amen. John was just a pre-observe, amen, to the meal. Amen. John was just a pre-show to the show. Amen. John was just an introduction, amen, to what was about to come. John was just a gift, amen, amen, for the great giver. And we thank you now in the name of Jesus for blessing us with your gift over 2,000 years ago. Amen. That you will take our reproach from among men. So God, we thank you, we bless you, and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're listening to this message on this Sunday morning, amen, and you, amen, want to experience that miraculous gift, if your life has been barren and you've been doing service and you know that the service that you've been giving, amen, has been to the glory of God, to the best of your ability, but it has not manifest, I want you to try Jesus on this Sunday morning. Amen. I want you to have a relationship with him. Amen. And I want you, amen, to go and grow with him, amen, in his grace. If you will pray this prayer with me, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Father, throw them in the sea of forgiveness. Amen. And remember them no more. I believe that you were born of a Virgin Mary. And I believe, amen, that you were divine, human yet divine. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that. And I believe that you rose up with all power in your hands on one early one morning. Amen. And when you got up with all power, and it gave me the right to the tree of life. Father, I believe that you're sitting on the right hand side of the Father and you're making intercession for me. And I believe right now in the name of Jesus, I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart. That I shall be saved. The Bible declares, if you confess it with your mouth and you believe it with your heart, that you shall be saved. There's nothing else required of you. Amen. Just grow in his grace and grow your relationship with him. And I believe that God will do it for you. I'm going to cut off. I'm past my time. I'm sorry for keeping you too long, but it's just so good. Amen. Wait till third Sunday. Amen. And let us complete this together. Amen. But still be back next Sunday. Amen. And share, amen, this link. Share the website. Share Facebook, share the YouTube channel with all of your friends. Amen. Let's take this year out strong. Amen. Together in unity, praying, amen, that we may have a Gabriel experience and God may give us some good news through the venue of Gabriel. Amen. We thank you on this Sunday morning. God bless you. Amen. God keep you. Pray for us as we continue to pray for you. Amen. Let us go into our benediction. May our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you all. God bless you. We love you.
Tell your neighbor, you're looking at one. You're looking at one. You're looking at one. You have no idea what God has brought me out of. You can't even tell when you look at me. I've been in a season of miracles. This is... Choose to go against that, and I'm speaking something different.